there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to another episode of Horror for the Holidays Stocking Stuffer. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
And Jeff, as you know, it's after July 4th.
Yep.
And as everyone who's a Halloween fan slash horror movie fan knows, it's now spooky season.
It is. In fact, I believe there's some candy corn liquor available, isn't there,
Jay? Oh, there already is, yeah. There's already, I believe candy corn liquor is already starting to populate shelves at local Hy-Vees.
I believe Spirit Halloweens are also reforming out of the ether.
Yeah, if you follow us on Threads, I posted myself working at Spirit the other day, unloading costumes and whatnot. Yeah, you know, saving the global economy.
Exactly.
Saving every business Jeff Bezos killed.
I heard he murdered Barnes & Noble.
And Sears.
Yeah, and Toys R Us.
Yep, but Spirit Halloween is here. But no, since it is spooky season, that last firework on July 4th went off, so now it's officially spooky season. Although spooky season, just like Christmas, is always in your heart.
That's true.
I figured now would be as good a time as any, because Fangoria put up voting for the 2024 Chainsaw Awards. I thought we could go through the list, review, you know, talk about what we've seen, our thoughts, and maybe kind of, I already voted once, yes. But I thought as a you and I together could vote together and kind of put thoughts in for stuff like that.
Sounds good to me, Jay.
All right. And then depending on time, we can do other stuff. But yeah, go out to Fangoria.com, /vote. And you'll be able to, listeners, you'll be able to also fill out your Chainsaw Award ballots. Although maybe by the time this is up, voting will be done. I don't know when voting's done. So maybe this will be people's last chance to vote. I don't know.
We don't know. We're just going to tell you what we're voting for.
All right. So question number one, best wide release movie. So we've got The First Omen, Imthrigan, which I don't know why it's being voted on this year.
I was going to say that's a little outdated, but okay.
Abigail, Talk to Me, which I know is one of your favorites.
Yes.
Infinity Pool.
I don't know why that's on there, but okay.
Godzilla Minus One, another one of your favorites.
Yes, that one was really good as well.
Evil Dead Rise.
That one was pretty good.
Satanic Hispanics.
Did not see that one.
When Evil Lurks.
Didn't see that one
either. And then I know one of your and my personal favorites, Late Night with the Devil.
Yes. See, this is the problem, because there's four movies on there that probably deserve it, but we're going to have to pick which one.
So going off ones I haven't seen, I haven't seen When Evil Lurks, although I've heard it's great. Mm-hmm. I've not seen Satanic Hispanics, although I've heard it's great. Same with Infinity Pool, not seen it. Not seen Godzilla, not seen Evil Dead, not seen Talk to Me, and not seen The First Omen, although I've heard it's the best Omen.
Yes, The First Omen was really good. I was surprised. I was thinking it was probably going to be mediocre at best.
So for me personally, the best movie on the list is Late Night with the Devil, but this is going to be a group kind of thing.
Well, Late Night with the Devil was really good, but I mean, Godzilla Minus One was really good as well. I mean, Abigail was a solid movie, but I don't think it's better than those two.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Imthrigan, we don't know why it's on the list.
Yeah, Imthrigan was a good movie, but yeah, I don't see why it's included in this list.
Because is it like 2-3 years old now?
It's got to be at least 2 years old. Let's see. Evil Dead Rise is good. I liked it, but not enough to put it as the top movie.
I know you really like Talk to Me.
I was going to say Talk to Me, but again, Talk to Me seems like it was a while ago. I don't know. Let me look this up real quick.
Like maybe because it's wide release, maybe like Imthrigan, I think maybe had like a re-release or something, like with extended stuff or something.
Say Talk to Me was a 2022 film. Maybe it ran into 23, I'm sure, but it seems like it's a little older than what the rest of these are.
Yeah. And same with Imthrigan. I feel like that was about the same time.
Yeah. Let me see real quick. Yeah, Megan was also a 2022 film, and I believe it, because it was January of 23, I believe, when it came out.
Okay.
So it's pretty old, too, compared to the other movies on this list, because, like, Godzilla Minus One was just last December.
Yep. Talk to Me was, I think, last summer.
Yes.
Was about this time last
year. Like, last June, I think. And then, yeah, M3GAN was last January.
And then Late Night with the Devil was in, like, March. And I know The First Omen was maybe, like, April.
So.
And Abigail was, like, April, May.
I guess they're just taking a large sample then. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm not going to count M3GAN because I do like M3GAN, but I don't think it's as good as Late Night with the Devil or right. Godzilla Minus One or Talk to Me.
So out of those three, all that to say, well, and The First Omen, what do you think about that one?
It was a really good movie, but I don't know if it's better than those other two.
Okay. So out of I guess, Talk to Me, Godzilla Minus One, Late Night with the Devil, you know where my vote is, but...
Just because I'm a Godzilla fan, mine would have to be Godzilla Minus One. All right.
Well, I think I'm willing to give you a Godzilla Minus One for this one. I've not seen it, but I've heard it's fantastic. Oh, so. Yeah.
You definitely have to see it.
All right, moving on to the next one. Best limited release.
Ooh.
I Saw the TV Glow.
Heard that's really good, but didn't get a chance to see it.
Yep, I think when you and I went to see In a Violent Nature, my buddy was like, I'm going to go see I Saw the TV Glow tonight. And I'm like, I can't do both.
Yeah.
And I think we already had our tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Cobweb. Ennis Man? Ennis Men? I've not even heard of that one. Suitable Flesh and The Outwaters.
Mm.
For me... It's Suitable Flesh. That movie is amazing.
Yeah, I would say, I think I would agree with you.
Like, I've not seen all of these, but I saw Suitable Flesh on Joe Bob the other week, and it was so good.
Having not seen, I Saw the TV Glow, I can't really say it's the best, so I've heard really great things about it.
No, so, yeah, same. Yeah, so let's give it to Suitable Flesh.
Sounds good to me.
Easy win there. Best streaming premiere.
Ooh.
Sick, which I believe was the... Kevin Bacon movie?
Yes, I think so.
Maybe, or no, was that the, was Sick the like, COVID era Scream? Maybe was that Sick?
Is it 2022 Sick?
I don't know, it just
Peacock
says Sick.
Original?
Oh, yeah. That's what I would assume, at least, because it says best streaming premiere, so if it was a Peacock original.
Yes, it's a COVID movie. When quarantining at her family's lake house, they're visited by an unexpected person.
No One Will Save You, which I've not heard of. Totally Killer, which was amazing. I don't know if you saw Totally Killer. Where the Devil Roams and VHS 85, which was a Shudder release.
Hmm.
So I don't know what your thought is for those. For me, it's Totally Killer. I love Totally Killer.
I'll just defer to you on this one then, because I haven't seen enough of them to make a judgment, really.
Did you see Totally Killer?
No, I have not.
It is Scream, but with time travel and you know, kind of getting that Stranger Themes aesthetic, trying to hunt down this killer before they strike or whatever. I love Totally Killer. I thought it was great.
I want to see Cobweb.
I've heard Cobwebs.
I've heard it's cool. Really good, and it has Homelander in it, I think.
All right. Best first feature.
Ooh.
Skinamarink.
No.
Stop Motion. It Lives Inside. The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster. And Birth/Rebirth. If you don't have any thoughts, there's also always the category didn't see /skip category.
Honestly, out of those, I would say probably It Lives Inside.
Okay, because I've not seen any of these.
Oh, so. You haven't seen any?
No.
Well, then I would say probably It Lives Inside is the best one.
All right.
Skinamarink is, I mean, it's basically not even a movie.
I've heard it's very, very strange. It was one of those that, I don't even know if it was in any theaters near us.
No, I don't think. I watched it on streaming with my brother-in-law because he wanted to see it, and it was...
Weird.
He said it was interesting, and I agree. It's interesting, but nothing happens in the movie, really. And the camera work is really weird. And there's really no dialogue. It's all kind of like muffled in the background.
No, I would have gone to see Skinamarink if it had been in theaters, but I don't think it was anywhere near us, or if it was, I missed it. So
no, It Lives Inside is actually pretty interesting. It goes into Indian religion and the Indian concept of demons. Cool. So it was a little nice change of pace.
Oh, it's that one. Yeah, yeah. I didn't even know that one was out already. So.
Yeah, it was good.
All right. Well, moving on. Best international movie. Which once again, if we've not seen any of these or we don't have enough to go off of, we can do didn't see / skip category.
Okay.
When Evil Lurks, Husera the Bone Woman, The Coffee Table, which I've heard is amazing. Same with When Evil Lurks, I've heard that's amazing. Infested and Ex Huma. I've not seen any of these.
I saw Infested.
Is that the giant is that the spider movie? Not the giant spider, but the regular spiders.
Yes, they're like they're some kind of mutant spiders or like radioactive spiders. I don't know. Take your pick. They very rapidly reproduce and start like overwhelming this apartment building.
I've heard there's like a hallway scene that if you have an arachnophobia,
oh my God.
I do.
I was gonna say yeah. If you're not a spider fan, definitely not the movie for you. There's all kinds of disgusting spider kills and things in this movie.
All right. Well, let's do Infested.
Since that's the only one I've seen, that was the only one that made its way through the zeitgeist to me, I'm going to say it's the best.
But I've heard The Coffee Table's great. I've heard When Evil Lurks is great. But based off of what we've seen, man, all this is telling me is we need to watch more shit.
Yeah.
Not just when we're not watching Christmas horror movies, we need to make our way to seeing other stuff.
I do want to see Sting, though. That's another spider movie.
Yeah, that's the giant spider movie.
Yes, from the meteor.
All right, best lead performance.
Ooh.
Tobin Bell in Saw X. Saw 10.
No.
Sophie Wilde in Talk to Me.
Possibly.
Lily Sullivan in Evil Dead Rise.
Yeah, she was pretty good.
David Dastmalchian in Late Night with the Devil.
Also pretty good.
Catherine Newton in Lisa Frankenstein.
Didn't see that one.
Caitlin Dever in No One Will Save You. Jeff's favorite actress, Sydney Sweeney in Immaculate.
Yes.
Lupita Nyong'o in A Quiet Place, A Loud Place.
No, absolutely not.
Nell Tiger-Free in The First Omen.
Possibly.
And Emma Stone in Poor Things.
Did not see Poor Things because it looked ridiculous.
Is that the weird, like, kind of Frankenstein-looking movie?
It's like a weird Frankenstein retelling, but it has fucking Mark Ruffalo, who I refused to watch after he ruined the Hulk.
Jeff does love the Hulk, listeners. If that's not come across prior to this moment, I think Jeff's favorite comic book character is the Hulk.
You want to know the real saddest moment in Endgame? It's not when Tony Stark dies. It's when the Hulk dabs.
And also, like, gives out tacos or whatever?
Yes, whatever weird shit he's up to.
All right, so... I really liked Lisa Frankenstein a lot. I thought Catherine Newton was great. But spoiler, she is also on the list for what do you call it? Supporting. And she's also on the list for supporting, and it's in a movie you and I have both seen.
Mm.
So I'm okay taking Catherine Newton off for that. Tobin Bell for Saw 10. I don't know how long the Golden Chainsaws have been going on for,
but
I don't think Tobin Bell deserves.
I was going to say, Tobin Bell is fine, but I mean, it's the same performance he's been doing for the last 10 Saw movies.
Yeah, so if you want to reward him for Saw, I guess you could vote for him for there. All that to say, for me, I mean, I'm going to go back to Late Night with the Devil. I loved Late Night with the Devil. And David Dastmalchian was great in that.
He was really great. But so was the lady from Talk to Me, so it's hard to say.
Now, I don't think on the next category, I don't think our favorite guy from Late Night with the Devil, either the skeptic kind of magician guy,
yeah.
or the kind of co-host character who gets his head split around or whatever.
Well,
I don't think neither of those guys are on there. This is the only thing Late Night with the Devil is on.
I was going to say, Jack really carries that movie where Talk to Me, she's really good, but there's also other people who are really good in it. So I'm going to say probably Late Night with the Devil just because his performance is so central to the movie.
Like the movie's about, really like about him and about his kind of whole thing.
He really carries it, especially like in the second half.
All right, so we'll go with that for... Yeah.
We'll give him that. Yeah, I think he deserves it.
All right, and then best supporting performance. We got Alicia Weir for Abigail. I think that's the little girl.
Yes, I believe you're correct.
We got Joe Bird in Talk to Me.
Mm.
Nicolas Cage in Renfield.
Mm.
Mia Goth in Infinity Pool. Dan Stevens in Abigail. One Mr. Batista in Knock at the Cabin.
Okay.
Catherine Newton again, this time in Abigail.
Okay.
Where she's the blonde girl with the curly hair.
Yeah.
Alyssa Sutherland in Evil Dead Rise, Dwayne Perkins in The Blackening and Bridget Lundy Payne in I Saw the TV Glow, which I know neither of you or I saw. So,
first of all, Knock at the Cabin Door is immediately eliminated because I hate M. Night Shyamalan.
But you do love Batista. Everyone loves Batista.
I do love Batista, but it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie, so no.
All right.
I'm not giving it to that. People need to stop rewarding that man for failure.
Although Trap does sound interesting, but then yes, the fact that it's an M. Night Shyamalan experience.
But the problem is that all of his movies sound interesting, and then you see them.
But it's not like directed by M. Night Shyamalan. It's not an M. Night Shyamalan film. It's an M. Night Shyamalan experience, is what it says on the poster.
Yeah, it's an experience, all right. Like The Happening was an experience. Or Old was an experience.
So if we were gonna take the people from Abigail, I mean, I know we can kind of talk about the other things too, but you know, the Abigail, we both saw it. Mm-hmm. The little girl, is Dan Stevens the kind of the lead guy?
Yeah, he's the former detective or whatever.
And then Catherine Newton is the blonde girl with the curly hair. So out of those three, like if we were to narrow, you know, there's three Abigail characters on here.
I mean, Abigail, Alicia Weir, she carries the movie with her performance. Mm-hmm. I mean, if she had been bad, the movie would have been bad.
No,
but she's pretty good.
Yeah. So if we take the other two Abigail people off there, let's do Alicia Weir, Joe Bird, and Talk to Me, because you really like Talk to Me. Let's look at Nicolas Cage and Renfield.
Did you see Renfield?
I didn't, but I heard it was great.
Nicolas Cage is really great in that movie. Very interesting take on Dracula.
Do you want to, any thoughts on Alyssa Sutherland in Evil Dead Rise?
She was really good. I mean, I liked the whole cast of Evil Dead Rise, but I don't know that their performances were on the Abigail or the Joe Bird level for Talk to Me.
All right. So let's, I guess, top three, Abigail, Joe Bird, and Nicolas Cage and Renfield.
You know what? Since it hasn't been recognized for anything else, I want to give it to Nicolas Cage for Renfield.
All right.
Because I heard like nothing about Renfield since it came out.
And listeners, spoiler, our next stocking stuffer is going to be about a new Nicolas Cage movie. Mm-hmm.
But no, it's a shame because he really, I don't know if it's the best Dracula performance ever, but it's definitely the most interesting Dracula performance ever. Which, I mean, you can pretty much expect that with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, that's Nicolas Cage for you. All right, moving on. We got Best Director. Oh boy, some of these names. Demian Rugna for When Evil Lurks. Danny and Michael Philippou for Talk to Me. Mm. Brandon Cronenberg for Infinity Pool. Lee Cronin for Evil Dead Rise. Arkasha Stevenson for The First Omen. I feel like you're going to want to give it to Evil Dead, or not Evil Dead, for Talk to Me.
Well, let's say Talk to Me is a really well-directed, really well-paced movie. It flows really well. But so is Evil Dead Rise. I thought it flowed really well.
And The First Omen.
Yes, while The First Omen is a slower burn movie, it also felt like it didn't. Because I think the sign of a good director is the movie doesn't feel like it's got a lot of bloat in it, like scenes you don't think are necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of those movies are pretty, they flow pretty well from beginning to end without really any like lulls in the action or anything.
One thing to say about The First Omen, once again, I've not seen it. But people saying it is the best Omen movie yet, and there's, what, like five of them mm-hmm. prior to this? Like, that's pretty impressive.
You know what, though? I think I'm going to give it to Talk to Me, not because these other two don't have good direction, but because they're both building on already established franchises where Talk to Me did its completely own thing.
Well, and you know, you had Talk to Me as one of your top five like favorite horror movies.
And it's just, I'd say if I had to pick one, if I could only rewatch one of those three or whatever, have it come back to the movie theater, I want Talk to Me to come back.
So. All right. Works for me. But
yes. I'm not building on an already established franchise.
All right. Best screenplay. Brandon Cronenberg for Infinity Pool. Danny Philippou and Bill Hintzman for Talk to Me. Colin and Cameron Cairns for Late Night with the Devil. Akilah Cooper, story by Akilah Cooper and James Wan for M3GAN.
Mm-hmm.
And Arkasha Stevenson, Tim Smith, and Keith Thomas, story by Ben Jacoby, The First Omen.
Well, The First Omen and M3GAN both have pretty predictable stories. Although I will say the twist in The First Omen was pretty crazy. If you want me to spoil it for you.
Yeah, spoilers for people who haven't. I want to hear about this. I've not done any research on the first
So time. The church thinks that people are straying too far away from God with all the modern conveniences and technology and things. So they're intentionally trying to birth the Antichrist so that people will run back to the church to be saved.
Oh, cool. I love it. That's a great twist.
And they've been running experiments trying to birth Damien by having women line up to be, they summon this like goat devil demon thing to bang women and try to produce the Antichrist.
Oh, wild.
So, yeah, that was an interesting twist on the Omen story. M3gen, I don't think, is going to make it just because the story is so simple.
No, I agree.
I mean, like I said, I liked it, but I didn't have any, there were no like mysteries as to where it was going. It's like, yes, they make M3gen. M3gen starts to kill people after her programming goes off the rails.
Yep.
Because, I mean, like every one of these stupid android or robot movies, they make her directive way too broad. It's like, protect Katie. It's like, oh, yeah, because that can't go wrong.
Yep. No, she's not going to go and horse gallop after a boy and rip his ear off.
Or, like, you know, she starts to see the mom as a threat to her safety. So she's like, oh, well, I have to protect you from your mother.
Yep.
And I have to protect you from your aunt. And now I have to protect you from society as a whole by destroying humanity.
Now I have to do a little dance.
Yes. Oh, the little dance, Julie.
That's the star-making turn of M3gen.
I was going to say.
If it was best choreography, M3gen.
Yeah. Oh, and if you haven't seen M3gen, go ahead and get the Blu-ray and watch the unrated cut, because it restores all the cursing that they cut out of the PG-13 version.
That's what I was going to say earlier, was I wonder if there was a wide release of the unrated version of M3gen, that's why it's on the list.
I wish they had done that, because it works better as not censored for kids.
All right, well, anyway, back to... So you're thinking between Talk to Me and Late Night with the Devil?
Yeah, it's got to be one of those two. I mean, they both have interesting stories. Honestly, though, I think I'm going to give it to Late Night with the Devil, just because Talk to Me is a really good movie, but it works on a traditional movie storytelling structure. Late Night with the Devil does a more complicated, like trying to make it a real talk show, like play-by-play kind of screenplay.
No, and you know, you and I have talked about how much we love that kind of idea and stuff.
So they took on a more complicated challenge, I think, so I'm going to go ahead and give it to Late Night with the Devil.
Perfect. All right, moving on. Best Cinematography. Aaron Morton, The First Omen. Kareem Hussein for Infinity Pool. Controversial one for you and me, but it's kind of where my thought's going right now. Pierce Dirks for In a Violent Nature. Cinematography, fantastic.
I suppose, if you like nature documentaries, yeah.
Robbie Ryan for Poor Things, or Eric K.U. for I Saw the TV Glow. I Saw the Devil Glow, which is what I was about to say.
I mean, I know what my choice is. Well, we could discuss it. The First Omen, beautifully shot movie, especially shot a lot in Rome. In like the old city streets and around landmarks, recreating the violent 70s riots, the anti-government riots that were going on in Rome at the time. There's a certain shot, again, spoilers, of a nun hanging herself after lighting herself on fire.
Reminiscent of the first movie.
Yes, and that shot is just like haunting, because she's framed so that she's out of the frame, just you could see her feet at the beginning, and she drops into frame as she's lighting herself on fire and getting hung. So hanged, I suppose, is the correct term.
But In a Violent Nature, I love, you know, we talked about it kind of on the episode, love the whole idea behind it. And like, so the one thing I do kind of think it deserves is cinematography, but I'm okay going with The First Omen. So we will click that. Best makeup / effects.
Ooh.
I guess it's best makeup effects is technically the thing. Beck Barato, Paul, Katie, and Nick Nicolau, Talk to Me. Steven Kostansky in A Violent Nature. Luke Pulte in Evil Dead Rise. Marcos Berta in When Evil Lurks. And Liz Byrne, Paul Byrne, and Matthew Smith for Abigail. Right off the top, I don't think Abigail deserves to be on there as much. I felt there was a lot of CGI.
Yeah, I was going to say, to me it comes down probably, Talk to Me has a lot of brutal, I mean, the ghosts also are some, like the spirits that are summoned by the Talk to Me hand are some of the like most disturbing looking ghost designs I've seen in a long time.
But I mean, Evil Dead Rise has that awesome looking.
I was gonna say, but Evil Dead Rise also has really great gore effects, and the Deadite designs for some of them were like insane.
And then I thought In a Violent Nature, the when we saw the dude's face looked great.
Yes, he did look good. Although I will say I was kind of let down on the gore on some of the kills.
Yeah, I just didn't. I feel like Abigail's kind of a one of these things, yeah. Not like the other.
Abigail is too CGI heavy, I think, to qualify for makeup effects.
Yeah, even though we're like, we're talking about makeup, like it doesn't work for me.
Abigail had some good makeup, especially on her and on the people who eventually do become vampires in it. But a lot of CGI kind of outweighs that in my mind.
So I'm okay with going with any of the three you mentioned. I like Stephen Kostansky. I love Psycho Gorman.
We haven't given anything to Evil Dead Rise yet, so why don't we do Evil Dead Rise?
All right, works for me. Best creature effects.
Ooh.
Adrian Moreau and Kathy C. Moreau FX Studios for M3gen. Terry. Oh boy. Onalon and Leo Ewald for Infested, Adam Johansson and Damian Martin, Odd Studio for Evil Dead Rise, Jim Henson, Creature Shop, Five Nights at Freddy's, and Goran Lundstrom for Last Voyage of the Demeter, Last Vampire of the Demetrius.
Last Vampire of the Demetrius.
You know, vampires can't get wet.
Dracula can't get wet. I was wrong and I regret.
But yeah, I'm okay with going Last Voyage of the Demeter. I mean,
yeah.
Dracula looked great.
Yes, I will say. I don't understand why no one talks about that movie and why it wasn't a bigger success. But
honestly, a thing kind of for that one, a weird thing, like, I did feel like there was a lot of, like, CGI-heavy stuff, but... Mm.
It looked amazing.
Yeah, and I think it's because there's a lot of darkness and stuff, so you're not getting well-lit scenes.
I mean, the makeup effect at the end, too, when he's dressed up like a gentleman or whatever in the bar.
I love that.
Yes, I think we should give it to Last Voyage of the Demeter, because it deserves some recognition.
Yeah, I was surprised it wasn't on this one more.
Yeah, when they've got movies that are much older than it on there for some reason.
All right, so we're on best costumes.
Ooh.
And top two are kind of where my thoughts are at, but we could talk about it. Megan McLaughlin for Lisa Frankenstein, Steph Hook for Late Night with the Devil, Holly Waddington for Poor Things, Paco Delgado for The First Omen, and Francesca Bernori for Immaculate.
Hmm.
So my two thoughts are the first two. Lisa Frankenstein, very, very like 80s. Late Night with the Devil, very like 70s, 80s.
Talk show.
Yeah, talk show host. Like very browns and oranges, like felt very.
And I think are you also counting the like audience members and stuff in Late Night with the Devil?
Because I would assume so.
They were interesting as well.
Like Lisa Frankenstein felt like it was very, you know, very much like somewhere between Stranger Things and... Jennifer's Body. Like, it was kind of a mashup of those two movies. But it did feel very 80s. Like, everyone I've talked to who actually lived through that period, not just, you know, me who was born during it but don't really remember anything about it, said that it felt very 80s.
Hmm.
But Late Night with the Devil felt like watching a talk show.
Yeah, that's true. The First Omen, I like the costuming, and they really did a great job of recreating the late 60s, early 70s look, like for clothing and cars and everything. I don't know. This one's kind of tough. I haven't seen Lisa Frankenstein, but I'll take your word on that.
But we can kind of cross that off since it's kind of a group thing. Like, I like Lisa Frankenstein a lot, but if you know, gun to my head, I would say Late Night with the Devil. But
yeah, that's what I'm leaning to as well. Late Night with the Devil, I think, just because it recreates that whole era so well.
No, and even like the, you know, the cult scenes, you get the kind of the costuming with that and stuff.
Very creepy.
All right, and best score, which. Boy, I've not. I don't think I've seen. I think I clicked a did not see / skip category for this one. Stephen McKinnon. I don't know. Evil Dead Rise.
Okay.
Naoki Sato for Godzilla Minus One. Mark Corvin for The First Omen, Tim Hecker for Infinity Pool, and Alex G for I Saw the TV Glow. Once again, I apologize for anybody whose names I've mispronounced.
This has got to go to Godzilla for me. The recreation of the iconic Godzilla soundtracks from the past, plus the new music that they did, blended seamlessly into it.
I'm good with that.
It was amazing. Even my mom, because I watched a lot of Godzilla movies as a kid, we were at the movie theater, and my mom leaned over to me, and she's like, "It's the Godzilla song." And I was like, "Yeah." Which my mom really loves. This tells you, my mom is not a giant monster fan, but she really loved Godzilla Minus One. So.
Oh, excellent. Well, and Jeff's mom's great, listeners. Best documentary feature. I've not seen any of these, so I'm pretty sure I did a didn't see / skip category.
We'll see if I've seen any of them.
The Legacy of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No.
Satan Wants You.
No.
Sharksploitation.
No.
We Kill for Love.
No.
Dario Argento's Panico, which is all about Dario Argento.
I did not see any of those, unfortunately.
So I'm okay going didn't see / skip category. Yeah. Although I would, a couple that I would want to check, I didn't even notice Sharksploitation the first time I voted.
I was going to say, that one sounds like the most interesting one to me.
I would love to see Dario Argento's Panico. And then Legacy of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre sounds great.
Yeah, you are a big Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
So I'd at least see three of those. I might have some things I have to check out.
I want to check out Sharksploitation.
Best series. Ooh. So, TV series. I've only seen one, so I voted for the one that I had seen. Interview with a Vampire, The Fall of the House of Usher, The Last of Us, Yellow Jackets, and Chucky. I've only seen Chucky.
The Last of Us was good, but I don't know that it's as good as Chucky. I feel like as a horror TV franchise, Chucky is probably better. Just because The Last of Us is more like action horror, I want to say. A little bit. I mean, it really depends on what you find scary, because I don't find The Last of Us scary at all. But, I mean, I guess some people find it scary, the whole zombie thing. But
I always feel like, and you know, I've not played Last of Us, but I've played a lot of zombie video games. And I've always felt like you get that kind of initial fear, and then it's more when, like, new things kind of pop up. So, yeah. Like, I've been replaying Resident Evil 4. I've been playing the remake. And so, you know, there's some stuff where, like, you know, you kind of get shocked or surprised by a thing, and there's some new stuff in the game that wasn't in the first game. But, like, as I'm playing along, like, and especially I've played this game, I think this is probably my third playthrough total. I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is about to happen. Oh, I'm about to run into one of these guys. Like, yeah. Oh, this is, you know. And so, like, nothing really surprises me like it used to. Yeah. And Last of Us kind of feels like a similar thing. You know, that first time when you see the, what they call them, clickers, is that right?
Yeah. They're basically, it's a cordyceps fungus that takes over people. And as the fungus gets more and more control over you, it evolves you into these different stages. They go all the way up to, like, behemoth brute type things, all the way down to, yeah, like, clickers.
But yeah, it's like kind of one of those it's like one of those where, like, the first couple times you see it, they're scary, and then it becomes more of like an action kind of thing, like you said, where Chucky has maintained the continuity from all of the movies, minus the Mark Hamill one, into, like, all of, you know, into the TV franchise. And so they bring back characters from, like, the early movies, and, you know, Andy and, oh, shoot. I'm forgetting the girl's name. It's Kyle, I think, is the girl's name. Mm. Both show up in the series. And they've done, like, a joke where Devon Sawa has played, like, four different characters throughout the series. And every time they're like, that guy looks like my dad. Like,
yeah. No, I'd say Chucky is the most impressive out of the series.
All right. Excellent. Chucky it is. Best video game.
Ooh.
Which... Hey, this is right where I was talking about. Dead Space Remake. Own, I have not played yet. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I have played. Alan Wake 2. Love Alan Wake 1. I didn't know there was an Alan Wake 2 until about, 6 months ago. Resident Evil 4 Remake. And then The Killer Clowns from Outer Space, the game, which I think just came out.
I was going to say, I have not played that yet, but I have heard it's really fun. If you're a Killer Clowns fan, it's well worth it.
I want to check it out. It looks like it's probably a lot of fun.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre game is pretty good.
But pretty, you know, solid. It's one of those. It's one of those. You have to be online, and for me, that kind of detracts from it's any game.
One of the new the genre that's been growing for the past decade of like survival team games, asymmetrical games, where one person is a killer and there's a team of survivors.
And is that kind of Killer Clowns too? It's kind of the same.
Yes,
thing?
Yes, it's similar thing. And one I'm actually excited for is Predator Hunting Grounds, where you have a team of soldiers and one person plays a predator.
Oh, that could be fun.
That sounds interesting. But yeah, I'd say it's a solid game, but I don't know if it's the best. Resident Evil 4 Remake was really solid.
What I loved the things that it did, like I was saying earlier, what I loved the things that it did well is not only, like, so all of the cutscene, cinematic, like, action response things, those are all gone. Yes. So you can kind of sit back and enjoy the cutscenes. But it doesn't feel like those things are missing.
No. All the changes they made in the remake, I think, were for the better. I don't think you really miss anything by not playing the original. Honestly, out of those choices, I would go with Resident Evil Remake, probably.
Like, I can't give a full review. I love Alan Wake, but I've not... I didn't even know Alan Wake 2 was a thing until last year.
I've played Alan Wake 1, but not 2.
But yeah, and I love Alan Wake, but I'm okay giving it Resident Evil 4. And then best nonfiction series or miniseries. I think I know what we're going to go with, but I'll read it down anyway. The Boulay Brothers Dragula Season 5. Amityville, an origin story. The Enfield Poltergeist. Svengoolie. And The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs.
Joe Bob Briggs.
Yeah, it's Joe Bob.
I mean, is it even a contest?
Right. Like, when I was doing this the first time, too, I was like looking down. I'm like, I mean, some of these sound really cool. And then I went, oh, Joe Bob. Yeah, I got to go to Joe Bob.
As long as Joe Bob is alive, he should win.
Yeah, or, you know, make like an honorary Joe Bob award, yes, and then you can give this to other people.
You should just give it to him every year because his contribution to horror culture, I think, is never going to be outweighed in his lifetime.
The only other person I think who could match would be Svengoolie, because I think this is like the second or third Svengoolie. Mm-hmm. Is the one, like, I think this is like his nephew doing it now.
Yeah. But yeah, just, it has to be Joe Bob.
Like, I don't know. I know Svengoolie exists, but I do not know how to watch it.
Yeah.
And where Joe Bob, I know I can just flip on Shudder and watch it.
The Shudder partnership was definitely great. And if you want to see his older stuff that's not on Shudder, they're going through and restoring almost all of his old content on his Patreon.
Yeah. Yeah. That Darcy runs what is it? It's not The Last Drive-In. It's the Lost Drive-In.
Yes. That's what they call it.
All right, and then last question. Best kill. Tell us. And you can put down anything you like. When I did this the first time, the movie I noticed that wasn't on this list was Thanksgiving. So I did the half-off kill. I don't know that it's the best kill, but I was like, Thanksgiving deserves something.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many good kills in Thanksgiving. Well, you know, why don't we do a second one for Thanksgiving? Why don't we do the oven kill?
All right.
For Thanksgiving, because that was the moment when my wife decided not to see the movie with me, when that came up in the trailer. Or I don't know though, Jay. Could we? There's also the corn cob holder kill.
Through the ears. Yes. Yeah, that's a good one too. No, so the first one, like, because my first thought was, well, it's the yoga kill from In a Violent Nature. And then as I was sitting there thinking about it, I'm like, but we've not had a single Thanksgiving on this list.
Yeah, no. Thanksgiving definitely deserves recognition.
And so I did the half off where she's getting chased through the diner and then she gets separated by the by the dumpster or whatever, the car crashing into it.
No, all right, we'll go with the oven one. All right. That's iconic.
All right, perfect. And that is our list.
Ooh.
So, like I said, if voting is still active by the time this episode comes out, you can go to Fangoria.com/voting and or just search, I think, Fangoria Chainsaw Award 2024, and it'll take you to a way to vote.
Excellent.
Well, Jeff, do you have anything else, or do we want to wrap it up?
How long have we been going?
About 40 minutes. We could do one of those BuzzFeed quizzes.
All right. We'll do a BuzzFeed quiz to wrap up. All right. Let's see here. Gotta get. I have to activate my scary feed on BuzzFeed, Jay.
Excellent.
All right. can you beat the BuzzFeed team survival time in a haunted mansion, Jay? Or would you rather plan the ultimate spooky party to decide what movie you're going to watch during it?
Oh, let's plan the ultimate spooky party so I can get pissed off when they recommend a bad movie.
Okay.
Or maybe they'll recommend a good one.
Maybe they'll surprise you, Jay. All right, Jay, where are you hosting this party? A spooky barn? A haunted house? In the woods? Classic. In a corn maze? Or in an abandoned mental hospital?
Ooh. Okay. So my initial thought was the barn or the corn maze. I'm thinking like kind of some of the Halloween movies, yeah, stuff like that.
There's a lot of good spooky barn parties.
And I think one of the later Screams, maybe Scream 4, there's like a there's kind of a barn kill moment.
One of the coolest scenes in Freddy vs. Jason is at a party in a cornfield as well.
Yeah. Let's go cornfield. Why not?
Okay. Who's invited, Jay? Anybody, your family, your friends, your best friend or friends and family?
Oh, let's go anybody.
Anybody.
Okay. Gotta be, you know, we always want people to be able to listen or to show up to stuff.
All right, choose some decorations, Jay. Do you want gourds? Do you want tombstones? Spooky candles? Spooky Halloween displays or skeletons?
You know, I was gonna say gourds since we're in a corn maze, but man, gotta go with skeletons.
All right. What kind of drinks do you want to serve, Jay? Do you want to serve horror themed drinks, straight alcohol, all kinds of beverages, a flavorful tea?
Let's do horror themed drinks. I think you could probably do cocktails and mocktails. Let's do that.
Okay. All right. Don't forget about the food, Jay. What kind of food do you want to serve? Are we talking Halloween-themed sweets? Are we talking delicious platters of party food? Are we talking pies and cheesecakes? Or are we talking grilled food?
Ooh, so I think what I would go with is the Halloween candy.
Okay.
Because, you know, you're showing a movie, you're doing a thing, and, you know, it's going to be kind of Halloween time. And then also Halloween candy, you know, treats could kind of include popcorn was kind of my thought process.
Choose some entertainment, Jay. A spooky pianist, a spooky band, a random creepy clown scaring people, a karaoke with horror classics, or a costume contest.
All right. Well, I do like the idea of karaoke. We could, play sing some classic
Monster Mash.
Yeah, we could say the Monster Mash. Or the original Monster Mash, if you know, you know.
Yeah, Leo Caprazzi.
Or we could, spooky clown scaring people would be fun. But I think I would go with, like, maybe the band.
Okay, spooky band.
I think there's a guy who keeps popping up on my Facebook that's like, something in the Phantoms. And he's like, got a song that's like, I've spent my nights in the haunted castle. And I'm like, get that guy.
All right, Jay. What kind of costume are you wearing? You going to be a superhero? You going with something cute? You going with something creepy? A movie villain? Or are you just painting your face?
I mean, man, you know me. I'm nothing if not cute.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
Let's go with, is Dracula considered a movie villain, or is he something creepy?
I'm guessing he's probably a movie villain.
I'd probably dress as Dracula. Let's do that.
Better be careful not to get wet.
Yep. Can't get wet.
You would show Scream at your party.
You know, I would do that. Yeah, why not? Awesome. I've said to my wife the other day, I would love to go to a movie showing that is what happens in Scream 2, like the opening scene at the big movie theater for the premiere of Stab. I would love to actually go to a movie premiere like that, where, you know, people are running around dressed in costumes, all sorts of stuff. And so, like, you know, all that to be said, yeah, a giant, like, corn maze, we got skeletons, we got, you know, horror-themed drinks and candy, and we got, you know, a band playing, you know, a spooky band playing, and then we've got, you know, Scream playing. Yeah, that'd be great. I think that'd be a blast.
Yeah. All right, Jay. So you thought that one was reasonably accurate. But what if I told you, you have to survive in a spooky house till sunrise?
Oh, shit.
All right.
I'm not going to make it.
Hey, your parents just left. What do you do? Do you switch on the TV for a Halloween special, order some food, look for your cat, or lock all the doors?
I'd probably lock all the doors first. I'm very paranoid.
Okay. You're quite comfortable on your couch, but then you hear a sudden noise. What do you do? Do you hide under the bed? Look into all the rooms in your house? Do you lock yourself in your room with pepper spray? Or do you make the same noise yourself?
You know, my response was going to be like, probably try to rationalize it and continue what I'm doing. So I'm going to say make the same noise myself, which is probably the wrong idea.
The noise stopped. You feel fine, but someone knocks on the door. What do you do? Call 911, ask, who is it? Open the door or play songs on your phone because you're unbothered.
You know me. I would probably say, who is it?
Yep. That's a J-Log's didn't move. Back in the living room, you find something that's definitely not human and it's crying. What do you do? Do you offer help? Do you say, Mary, is that you? Do you immediately run out of the house or do you pass out from fear?
I mean, man, it doesn't have like wet yourself. Mm-hmm. So I'd probably run out of the house.
The evil thing offers to leave your home provided you help it. What do you do? Say yes, call your friend for help, laugh and say no, or call your parents and cry.
Oh, my dad lives in Arizona and my mom's dead, so that's not going to work very well. I could call my dad and cry. It wouldn't do any good. I would probably call Jeff and see if he'd come down and help me deal with this demon.
All right. You made it, kid. Can you be? Can you please be my personal bodyguard next Halloween?
Sure, why not?
Even though all the choices you made seemingly would get you killed.
Yeah, but my choices were very bad. I would have done, but they're all yes, bad choices.
Well, apparently the J-Logs and method works because you survived.
Excellent.
You made it, kid.
Hell yeah. It's got a guy. He's like, yeah, I did it.
All right. I think that's enough for today.
All right. Well, let us know your thoughts on Golden Chainsaw, if you voted, what you voted for,
yes,
stuff like that.
Let us know your choices.
Send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com, or get in touch with us on social media, at @horror4holidays and all the places, TikTok, Instagram, Blue Sky, Threads, X, all those places. Or indeed, leave a comment on our YouTube channel for this video. Let us know in the comments what you voted for.
Yeah, let us know why our choices are stupid and we're stupid and fat.
Yep, and how we butchered a bunch of people's names.
Yep, that's always fun, too.
Also, subscribe on YouTube?
Yep, youtube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the bell, which is the real subscribe button. Leave us comments.
All that good stuff. Also, subscribe on your podcatcher of choice.
Five stars. Jeff and Jay are boring, long-winded morons.
Yep, who've not seen very many horror movies this year. What the fuck? Yeah. And my response would be, this is a Christmas horror movie podcast? Yeah. Like, none were on that list.
It's true. We have specific things we have to focus on.
That's the biggest issue. There's lots of stuff where I'm like, oh, that sounds great. It's not a Christmas horror movie, and most of my time is spent watching a Christmas horror movie the first time, taking notes on the Christmas horror movie, watching it a second time, then recording an episode, and then editing the episode.
Indeed.
Yeah, so that's why I've not seen all of these movies.
But we will be seeing, as we mentioned earlier, a Nicolas Cage horror movie coming out this week. You can figure that out.
Wink, wink.
So you'll probably hear from us about that within the next couple of weeks.
And next week, our main episode, I believe, is our 2-year birthday.
It is.
Happy birthday to the podcast.
Happy birthday to us.
So we'll, I believe we're doing Jack Frost 2.
Indeed.
So we will be watching that, and that episode will be coming out here shortly.
Yep.
In a week, and we'll probably do, for our garbage day again, we'll probably kind of do a year in retrospect.
No, retrograde amnesia, yeah, which is what Jay Logsdon is suffering from.
Yeah. Words are hard.
All right. Well, I'm going to let Jay rest his word center of his brain.
What is a podcast if not people saying words into microphones?
Indeed.
Saying things.
We're saying things over and over again, and then it stops. Goodbye.
Bye. The ones I've seen are M3GAN, Abigail, and Late Night with the Devil. Mm. Oh, hold on.
garage door opening and closing sounds. Has the devil cursed this podcast?
I'm going to go check that. Hold on. Because it sounded like it went all the way down and then went back up again.
Jay's gone, singing the Jay's gone song. Jay's gone. Oh, since Jay logs them, we'll probably never hear this. Thank you to all the fans who've been contributing to my Down with Jay Logsdon hate campaign. We've been posting. There's a lot of anti-Jay Logsdon sentiment in the comments, and you guys have been doing a great job. Thanks.
Well, there's your favorite guy.
Oh, there's my noble.
Who knows?
Oh, the big sad eyes.
All right, let's see where that started going, so we can go back and I'll see if I can finish my thought.
All right.